The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 34, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 1st, 2009, in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 34. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinah. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sajaitam Savadutam Puri Jana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, we have gotten this human birth after great difficulty. Through 8,400,000 species. It is not an easy thing. It is not cheap thing to have a human body. We do not remember, but we have been through millions and millions of births to come to this present body we are in at present time. Jalaja Navalakshani Sdavala Lakshavinshati Kramiya Rudra Sankhya Kya Pakshi Pakshi Sam Pakshi Daksha Lakshanam Tringsha Lakshani Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manushaha. It's described in the Vishnu Purana. 900,000 types of aquatics. Jalajana Lakshani Stavara Lakshavinshati 2,000,000 types of plants and trees. Kramaya Rudra Sankhyaka, 1,100,000 types of insects, worms, and reptiles. You see. Pakshinam Dashalakshanam, 1,000,000 types of birds. You see. Chingsha Lakshani, Pashanam, 3,000,000 different types of beasts, and 400,000 different types of human being. You see. So to be in a human form is a very rare thing. Therefore, if one wastes this human body simply to imitate the animals, it is a great tragedy. A great tragedy. The animals are very expert in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Super expert. You see. So if we try to become more expert than the animals, you see, it is not very intelligent then. It's like, have you ever driven down the street and some dog, he comes chasing after your car, barking, why are you on my street? Ruff, ruff, he runs. So one may think, he may look at that dog and he very proudly puts his foot on the gas pedal, whoosh, to show the dog that I am bigger dog than you. I can outrun you with my car, my four wheels, you see. Very proud, yes. I am outrunning you, you little dog, in my big car, you see. And he's very proud. You see, I am great in my Chevrolet or whatever it may be, Toyota. So is that the success of human life, to be able to outrun a dog in your car? Or to outfly a bird in your airplane? Now you are great with your technology. No, human life is not meant for competing with the animals. There's a bigger sense gratifier than the animals. No. Human life is meant to rise beyond the platform of the senses. That is human life. As long as you remain on the platform of the senses, you are spoiling your life. That's a thing. You are throwing it away, wasting it. Shama eva hi kevalam, Bhagavatam says. Simply spoiling your life. So do not waste your human life. Follow the injunction given in the Shastra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, Vedanta Sutra. It is enjoining, you have a human body, now you must utilize it for self-realization. And how has that realization come about? Krishna is describing it right here in this verse. You have to have a spiritual master. Say, well, I just want to do it on my own, thank you. I will take a little here, a little there, and I'll be my own guru. Well, you're disobeying Krishna's instruction, and you won't be successful. That's a fact. You want to actually become successful on the pathway of spiritual perfection, then you must have spiritual master. That is confirmed in the Mundaka Upanishad, tad viganartam sugarum eva bigat chet. Do we have any Sanskrit grammarians here? Who is study? Who is expert in Sanskrit grammar? Anyone? Yeah. And say, you know, the verbal endings, they change the meaning. Like gachati, he goes; gachanti, they go; gachchet, must go. You see, that is called that ending is called vidilin ending. When the vidilin ending is there on the verb, and it is compulsory, there is no option. It's not you can do it or you can take it or leave it. No, you must do it. You see. So in this particular shloka of the Mundaka Upanishad, the vidilin form of the verb is utilized. Evam abhigatschat. You must go. You see, you absolutely must go to Guru. Tad viganartam sugurum eva abhigatschat. If you want to realize that supreme truth, then you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. So, we have our choice. Do we want to remain on this platform of the senses? Or do we want to become liberated? Everyone has their choice. No one is forcing. Krishna did not force Arjuna. He said, now I've told you these things, you do what you like. You want to do your own thing? Okay, go ahead. Do your own thing, Arjuna. So Krishna is saying, you want to follow my path, that's very good. If you don't want to follow it, all right, do your own thing. Take the result, you see. Yanti deva vrata devan pritinyanti priti vrataha bhutaniyanti bhuteja yanti madhya jinopimam. You see. Go ahead, follow the demigods. If you want to be a demigod worshiper, go ahead. You worship the demigods, you go to the demigod. You worship the ancestors, you go to the ancestors. Worship the ghosts and spirits, you will go to the ghosts and spirits. And if you worship me, then you will come to me, you see. You have your choice. Everybody can do their own thing. Where do you want to go? You want to go to the demigods? Well, we can compare. Want to go to the ancestors? You want to go to the ghosts and spirits? You see, you have your choice. Now it's Halloween time, you see. You can go and become a ghost in spirit by worshiping the ghosts and the spirits. You see, some people do that in India. There are people who go ghosts in other places too, for black magic, you know, and things like that. They want to worship the ghosts to get some power, some shakti. But they become ghosts. It's a hellish position, you see. Want to worship the ancestors, you see, oh my. But you know what? I'm thinking, well, there's my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. I must worship my family lineage. You see, so I can go to be with my ancestors. But that's only for this one. But what about all your other ancestors from your previous lifetimes? Why are you favoring this particular set of ancestors over the previous set of ancestors? You may have had a better set of ancestors in your previous life anyway. Why do you want this particular lifetime's ancestors? Actually, we have been in this material world for so long that we have had a family relationship with every single jiva throughout the whole universe. So actually, everybody's your ancestor, even that dog walking down the street. He was previously your grandfather, you see. So if you want to worship the ancestors, you know, you can go offer puja the dog. So the point is, don't waste your time. When you water the root of the tree, then all the leaves and branches are nourished, you see. When you feed your belly, your whole body is nourished. Your hand needs nutrition, doesn't it? To be healthy. The skin, you know, to be nicely operating, and it needs to be well nourished, doesn't it, the hand? So when do I take my hand and stick it in a bowl of dal and say, now I'm going to get my nourishment, you see? No. You take one spoon and you take the dal and put it in the mouth, you see? And then that dal goes to the belly and then it's digested, and all the value, nutritional value of that dal, it comes through the whole body, your ears, your nose, your eyes, your hand, the whole body gets nourished, you see. You understand. So, if we feed the belly, if we water the root of the tree of existence, you see, then everything becomes satisfied. You satisfy your ancestors, you satisfy the demigods, you even satisfy the ghosts and the spirits. You can satisfy everyone, but they say, but why did my family object when I told them I'm becoming a Hare Krishna, if I'm satisfying everyone? That's one of the questions. Well, ultimately they will be satisfied, I can guarantee you. Because all your family members will automatically be delivered. When you go back to Godhead, somehow Krishna will arrange that they will also come. Sooner or later, they will all become liberated if one family member. So they will definitely be pleased with you. That I was caught up in Maya, had no interest in Krishna consciousness, and you became a devotee, and now I'm here in the spiritual world. Thank you very much for becoming a devotee. You see, even though we objected like anything when you wanted to chant Hare Krishna, now we're thanking you very much that you take up Krishna consciousness, because now we are also liberated. So actually, you will please everyone. It may take a little time to manifest. But if you dedicate your life in Krishna's service, you will please everyone. Everyone you'll be able to please. And even in this lifetime, we see how the Goswamis, they pleased everyone. Dira, dira, jana, priyo, priyo, prakaro. You see. They were very dear. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan were very dear to everyone. The dira and the adira. The gentle and the not gentle. You see. The ruffians also, the gundas, you see. They were also pleased by the Goswamis. Everybody was so pleased by the Goswamis. Actually, you know, they were living as mendicants in the Vrindavan forest. There were also householders living in the area, you see. So the householders, they would go to Sanatan Goswami. You know, sometimes householders have husband and wife, they have disagreement, they have fight, isn't it? Has that ever happened in your family? So they would go to Sanatan Goswami. And if there was any fight between husband and wife, they would go to Sanat Goswami, and the wife would give her side of the story, and the husband would give his side of the story, and Sanat Goswami would make judgment. You are right, and the other party is wrong, and whatever he said, they would accept. You see? The Goswamis are very dear to everyone. Even the common householders there living in the area, they would take the, they took them as authority. Yes, whatever you say, we will accept. If the husband was told he was wrong, he would accept. If the wife was told she is wrong, she would accept. And in this way, they, you see, they were very dear to everyone. You see, even though they were totally renounced from household activities, still, they would help the householders to have peaceful household lives, you see. So in this way, they were very, very dear to everyone. So when we surrender ourselves to Krishna, then we are doing the greatest service for everyone, and for ourselves also. Because when the hand feeds the belly, the hand gets nourished. So we are like the hand and Krishna is like the belly. So we will, it is actually sometimes stated that first to become selfless, first of all, you have to become selfish. You see, pure devotion, that is pure selflessness. Pure Krishna bhakti is pure selflessness. But you have to become selfish first to achieve that state of pure selflessness. And that selfishness is, I am going to become Krishna conscious. I'm going to put my Krishna consciousness as the first priority in my life now. It takes priority over everything. That's called transcendental selfishness. I'm going to rise early. I'm going to chant the japa mala. I'm going to follow principles of spiritual life. You see, I'm going to be selfish. And I'm going to get myself purely fixed in Krishna consciousness. And by doing that, then I can become, I will achieve pure selflessness when I'm doing, where I'm doing the greatest service for my family members, my friends, my colleagues, my community, my nation, the whole planet, indeed all living entities throughout the entire universe. There are beings on other planets. Did you know that? There are beings on other planets. And when you surrender to Krishna, you're actually doing the greatest good for the Martians and the all of them out there. The moon beings. The astronauts didn't see them. But there are living beings on the moon also. So, in this way, try to understand this Krishna consciousness process. Try to become successful on this pathway by approaching a bona fide spiritual master in submission and service. You may say, well, can I just inquire from him? Isn't that good enough? Why do I have to serve him? I mean, you know, I don't feel like serving anybody. This is not academic education. You understand? This is transcendental realization. The knowledge imparted to you by the spiritual master is not like in a college classroom, just some academic data that you can repeat on the exam. You see? The spiritual master is actually taking you and leading you into a higher dimension of consciousness, where you actually go out of your body into another realm of consciousness beyond your material body. You actually regain your original identity in the spiritual existence. He takes you there. You see, it's not just academic knowledge. It's actual realization. It's experience. He takes you to Krishna. You actually meet Krishna face to face. So you have to qualify yourself by loving relationship. Your spiritual advancement is based on how much loving, submissive attitude you have towards Krishna and Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. So whatever, that's why service to the spiritual master is very important. Because it is only, you only realize, if you have 1% service attitude, you have 1% realization of Krishna. You understand? If you have 2% service attitude towards the spiritual master, you have 2% realization. So whatever degree of mood of loving service you have towards Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. To that extent, you will realize Krishna. So this is why the disciple is very eager to have the association of the spiritual master, because he or she knows that by serving the spiritual master, developing that loving service mood by practical service to Sri Guru, that will actually take me beyond this material existence into the transcendental realm known as Goloka Vrindavan, where life is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. There's no traffic jams there either. No income tax. No cold winters. Simply an unlimited festival of spiritual bliss. They have much better glob jamans there. You wouldn't believe how sweet the kirtans are in Goloka. You think they're sweet here? Just wait and see how sweet the kirtans are in Goloka Vrindavan. Every syllable is just oozing with unlimited oceans of nectar. Of course, we can experience that here also. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. You can actually be in the spiritual world while you're still here in Canada. I thought of an example of this. Tomorrow, I'm going back myself along with Vishnupriya Manaji and my disciples who have come with me. We are going back to the U.S. tomorrow. The interesting thing about, many of you have probably done this. You fly to the U.S. from Toronto. You actually legally, technically enter the U.S. before you leave the airport. They have an area of the airport which is legally the United States of America. You go through a certain little area, and now you've entered the U.S. It says, welcome to the U.S., and you're still in Toronto. In other words, you clear customs. U.S. Instead of clearing customs, you land in the U.S., you clear customs here at the Toronto airport. So technically, you've already entered the U.S. even before you leave from Canada. So in the same way, in Krishna consciousness, you see, when you fully surrender at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, you have cleared customs. You have cleared Goloka Vrindavan customs, and you're already in the spiritual world, even though you're still here in Toronto. You've actually cleared customs, and you're in the spiritual world. That's what it takes to clear customs. You have to fully surrender to the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. And then you've cleared customs. You're now in the spiritual world. That's why Prabhupada says, deathlessness begins from the very moment of initiation. As soon as you accept those beads from the hand of your spiritual master at the time of initiation, at that very instant, when you take those, when those beads touch your hand and you get your name, you see, that moment you're now initiated, you've actually achieved immortality at that very moment. You become situated in your eternal identity as Krishna's servant, provided you follow the vows, you see. If you deviate from the vows, finished. You see. So we have our choice, you see. We can remain independent. Well, I'll just do my own thing, thank you. Or we can actually approach a bona fide spiritual master and beg him, please give me shelter at your lotus feet, Guru Maharaj. I don't want to remain in this cycle anymore. Please take me back to Krishna, you see. You have a choice. Prabhupada gives the example in India. You know, in India it's a very graphic example. India is known as the land of extremes. So in India there are two types of dog. You've seen the street dogs. I know in Vrindavan I've seen the street dog. It's horrible. Any of you seen the Indian street dogs? Oh my God. Those little creatures, they're so skinny. All their hair has fallen off and they have a disease called, mange or something. There's a skin disease, their hair has fallen off. From all the fights they've had with other dogs, they have wounds all over their body. They're starving. It's just a little walking skeleton. It's a pathetic scene, you see. But then you go to Juhu Beach, and you see those rich, businessmen and movie stars walking on Juhu Beach with their dogs, like Western gentlemen walking with their dogs, you see. And those dogs on Juhu Beach, they're very stout and strong and jolly, walking with their masters down Juhu Beach. It's like the dogs here in Toronto, you see. Stout, strong, jolly dogs. Not those little horrible street dog creatures, you see. So what is the difference between street dog and the jolly dog? One has a master and the other does not have a master. That's the difference. Sanatta and anatta, Prabhupada says. Sanatta means with master. Anatta means without master. So each one of us, we are either sanatta or anatta. I have a guru or I don't have a guru, you see. So spiritually speaking, if we don't have guru, we are like street dog. We are like street dog. And if we have guru, we are like that stout, strong, jolly dog, you see. So you have your choice. You see, you can take guru or you can remain so-called independent. But actually, that is not independence. You are under the control of your senses. It's not that you're independent by not having guru. Now you are controlled by the guru of your senses. The bad gurus, you see, they are controlling you. The senses are controlling you. They're leading you to hell, you see. So, again, we have our choice. I want to be with a master or without a master, you see. But to actually become twice born, to actually achieve the human life, you must have a spiritual master. Otherwise, you will remain on the platform, animal platform, you see. You may be walking on two legs, but you are dvipada pashu, two-legged animal. And when we get old, what are we called then? Tripada pashu, when we get that cane, you see. When we get old. I think I may be getting there soon. I'm 62. Pretty soon I may have to have a cane. You know, time and tide wait for no man. But anyway, the point is we should not remain on this animal platform. If we're actually intelligent, we will take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and achieve the actual goal of human life, you see. We've evolved through all these species. We've come to the human form, and if we utilize it for sense gratification, it's simply the biggest mistake you could ever make. You know, everyone understands this point? That if you use your human life simply to gratify your senses and the senses of your family members, you've wasted everything. Everything's waste, total waste. But if you will utilize this life in the service of Krishna by following his order in the Bhagavad Gita to accept a spiritual master, then you and your whole family become liberated, you see. You can be together in Goloka Vrindavan. Oh, I remember you. You were my mother in Toronto. You were my father. Actually, Prabhupada said, we'll remember our activities in the material world. And you go back to God and we can remember. We were all here today together in Brampton at this lecture. We can all there's a day when all of us will be in the spiritual world together and we'll all be able to remember. Yes, I remember this lecture in Brampton, you know, on the 1st of November in 2009. We were all together there in Brampton talking about the necessity of having a guru, you see. We'll be able to remember. So anyway, they've allotted me a certain amount of time, and Prabhupada told me to always follow the temple authorities, you see. So my duty is to obey the authorities. I mean, I could go on speaking the whole day, but, you know, there's a program. I don't want to disrupt the program. The point is, there's unlimited. Prabhupada said 24 hours a day is not enough time to talk about Krishna. I mean, there's so many things we could say. The science is so deep, it's so unlimited, we could go on for hours and hours and hours. I mean, how long did Shukadev go on? 7 days, nonstop. I mean, there wasn't even a bathroom break. That's how intense it was, you see. So anyway, I can ask now if there's some questions. By the way, this Krishna just orders you to ask questions right here. So don't be shy. Okay, go ahead, Kirtan. Yeah, that's right.
So, if somebody else in the family goes to Yamaloka and...
Goes where?
Yamaloka.
Yeah, no, that... No, if some one of your family, of course, in your family, that you're all going back to Godhead. But that's not that if one of your family members goes to Yamaloka, the devotee member has to go with them. No, not necessarily. Now, they may not go immediately back. You know, they may have to undergo some reactions for their, you know, all their sinful activities. But the point is that they will be delivered. It doesn't say, Shastra does not say they immediately become delivered, although they could be. In the case of Dhruva and Suniti, she was immediately delivered. So it could be that they're immediately delivered, but or it could be delayed depending on their consciousness. With Suniti, that Dhruva, that he was being, the Vaikuntha airplane came to take him back to Godhead. And he was thinking, it was my dear Mataji who actually told me to go to the forest to meditate on, to find Lord Vishnu. And because of her instruction, now I am going back to Godhead. How could I go back to Godhead and leave her behind in this material world? And then it was pointed out to him, oh, don't worry, see that airplane over there? She's on that other airplane. He looked over there, he saw that she's also going at the same time. Two different airplanes. The boy, the son had his airplane and the mother had her airplane. They're both going together in two different airplanes at the same time back to Godhead. So how will actually happen with each? Even in my own case, my mother was not Krishna conscious, but she inspired me in many ways. She used to sing the Christian hymns. When she was through with her household chores, she would sit down at the piano and sing with great feeling the praises of God. So these things made an impression on the consciousness, and we feel some indebtedness towards this person who gave birth to this body from her womb. We feel some appreciation for her saintly qualities. So how Krishna will arrange that she will become delivered, I'm sure it will happen. I don't know how exactly he will arrange, but I'm sure it will happen. That I will see my mother in the spiritual realm. And she'll remember how she tried to convince me not to be Krishna conscious. Actually, my grandmother said, why don't you become a Christian preacher? Say any other question? Yeah.
How do you reconcile the two contradictions that everything is written before your birth, what kind of life you will have when you will die, and then how do you reconcile that with that have a selfless karma, don't think about the result? Now, if I'm coming here just because Krishna called me, but if I'm busy doing something else just because I've never been called. So how do you reconcile that, how these two things...
Maybe what do you understand what his question is?
Question I understood. So he said, how do you reconcile those two things?
Which two things?
Let me speak something.
Do you understand?
Certain things are destined based on the past karma, and then if he's saying that if he's sitting right here right now, that means that Krishna called him. But if he's working somewhere else, that means that Krishna did not call him. He's saying that. So how do you?
No, Krishna is calling us. Krishna is always calling us. Now whether we answer the call or not, that's up to us. Krishna's call is always there. The super soul within the heart is always calling us. Please come back. Please come back. Please come back. Please, constantly calling. Now whether we accept his invitation or not, that's our free will. We can accept that invitation or we can reject it. The call is always there. You see. Some people say, well, I'll go to the temple when Krishna wants me to come. But actually, Krishna is always wanting you to come. When will you agree to accept his invitation? It's not that when Krishna will invite. Now, Krishna's invitation is always there. But we are not accepting his invitation. That's the difficulty. Constantly. Yes, Krishna wants us to surrender right now. He's ordering us to surrender. But we're saying, well, I don't know, Krishna. Maybe next year, maybe next lifetime. I'm not quite ready yet, thank you. And see, that's our lack of cooperation with Krishna. But he's always inviting us. Did that answer your question? Yeah. Thank you for your nice question, sir. Yes, Mataji.
Destiny
that
comes close to the God, is it arranged from the previous life, or is it now?
Is my coming to Krishna now because of what I did in my previous life, or is it just some good fortune? Is that your question?
Yeah, or is it my will, is it my work?
Is it because of my previous work that I'm qualified to become a devotee now?
God, or is it my previous good karma, pious karma that brings me to God?
Well, your present will is actually a result of your previous karma.
Yeah, I mean, it's like kind of a vicious thing, one is depending on the other.
Hmm? She's talking about a catch-22 situation. One is dependent on the other. If I haven't performed the good prize activities before, then how am I going to get the will that I have?
Yeah, so how do you get out of the catch-22? That is called the mercy of the spiritual master. Brahmanda brahmite konna bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. After wandering in this catch-22 for millions and billions of lifetime, you see, caught up like a little hamster running. You ever seen the hamsters in the cage running on that little wheel? You see? Caught up in the catch-22 that, you know, I have to become pious in order to become Krishna conscious, but I have to be Krishna conscious in order to become pious, so it seems like I can never really get it, you know. But that's why the mercy of the spiritual master is absolutely essential. But the bona fide spiritual master will plant the seed of bhakti within your heart. You see? Through the medium of transcendental sound vibration, he plants the seed of bhakti within your heart. And if you will then choose to water that seed by regularly chanting the Maha Mantra and choose to keep the weeds away from that devotional creeper by avoiding illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, then that seed of bhakti which the spiritual master has planted in your heart will fructify and you'll become a pure devotee. If you somehow come in contact with a pure devotee, a bona fide spiritual master, and you open up your ears to hear what he's saying, and you take those words into your heart, then you have become, you've had the seed of bhakti planted within your heart. You see, it's the good fortune of coming in contact with a bona fide spiritual master that takes you out of the catch-22. Now you... What you do when you come in contact with them, that's up to you. You can take that seed or you can reject it. But that seed, if you take proper care of that seed that he's implanted within your heart, then you'll become liberated. That's a thing. So now it's up to you what you will do with the seed. Take it or leave it. Yes.
That by pious karma and good karma we get the human birth, and then in a human birth we have a choice to go down into animal kingdom.
Yeah, human life gives you the opportunity to either cultivate divine or demoniac nature. That's a thing.
Whether we make a choice for taking shape. But then at that point we have a choice to make. Whether we want to be in the material energy or into the...
Human life gives you the choice Whether you want to cultivate divine qualities or demoniac qualities, that's a thing. Other than the animal kingdom, you have no choice. You're just carried along on the karma chakra, like a conveyor belt in a factory. The dog has to bark. He cannot stop barking, you see, by nature's way. But a human being, he can act like an animal or he can act like a sadhu. He has a choice. Animals have no choice. Human being has choice. Any other nice questions? These are wonderful questions. Thank you, both of you, all three of you now. Very nice question. Any other question? Everyone said us, yes.
Maharaj, here they read in Bhagavatam that the cow, being the mode of goodness, when they take a human form, they come in Satya Yuga. Whereas a monkey who's in the mode of ignorance comes in Kali Yuga. So in the Bhagavatam purport that was written by Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that a lot of people that are in Kali Yuga were actually monkeys before coming to human form.
That, what's he saying?
He's saying in the Bhagavatam, he recalls reading the purport by Srila Prabhupada,
yeah,
that most of the people in Kali Yuga were monkeys in their previous life, because in their in the mode of ignorance.
It sure looks like it, the way they act, doesn't it? Yeah.
My question was, Maharaj, is that means that we don't have to get to the, I mean, in the form of animal, we don't have to get to a cow to become a human being, or?
No, Prabhupada is explaining that they go from monkey to human being, and that's certainly a fact. If Prabhupada explained that, then that's right. I know I read it many years ago. I don't remember the details of that purport. I have read the same purport. But you're asking, do they have to become cows to become humans?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I don't recall what Prabhupada says. Why don't you look it up, study, find the purport and read it again? Because the Prabhupada explains it to them. I don't remember. Unfortunately, many of the people today, they are coming from cows who were slaughtered in the slaughterhouse, you see. The people who killed the cow to eat the meat, now they become cow. So they can be eaten by the same cow that they slaughtered. They switched places, you see. If you slaughter a cow and eat cow flesh, that cow will become a human being and he will eat you. And you become cow, you see. It's called mamsa. Flesh is called mamsa in Sanskrit. And it means mihi, literally. Mihi. You see. Because that animal you're eating, he, sa, there is me, the eater, mum, and there is sa, the eaten. You see. So that mamsa, they just switch places. He and me, they switch. Mamsa, sama, samam, mamsa. They just switch back and forth. That's why flesh is called mamsa. Me, he, literally. You see? Because you switch places with the person that you ate. Now in the next life, he will eat you. You kill a chicken, okay, you can be one of those chickens walking around. And that same chicken that you grabbed by the neck and broke his neck and feathered him and threw him in the pot, he'll do the same thing to you next time. That's called karma.
There was a cat in my hand.
Huh?
There was a cat in
my hand. Oh, yeah, there was a, you know, the Colonel Sanders Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yes. There was a cartoon. I have a cartoon copy. Actually, I scanned it, but I have the actual clipping. It says Colonel Sanders, it says the next life, the reincarnation of Colonel Sanders. It shows this chicken. He's going, oh my God, what did I do to deserve this? He's a chicken, you know. Actually, Prabhupada said that Colonel Sanders has to take a chicken birth for every single chicken that was smeared with his famous recipe. And they're still smearing them in his name. We're doing this for the Colonel. Oh my God, can you imagine how many births? He's actually taking birth as a chicken in his own. He's being smeared with his own recipe. And he's got to come back as a chicken. Oh my God, this poor Colonel Sanders. He's really in hot water, hot oil, as I said, actually. He's in hot oil with his own famous topping smeared all over his body. Birth after birth after birth after birth. Krishna. Anything else? Yes, Manaji. The animals that
die about for research in the medical
sense. Yes, well, they will be some scientists in the next life. And they will get even with all the scientists that dissected them. The dissector becomes the dissected. Yeah, that's karma. Yes. What's it?
Plants.
How would
you consider
it?
One at a time, please. If I'm
seeing
the plants, how do we consider it's not sinful, the plants? Because plants also are living beings.
Yes. This is a very good point you're making, sir, because when I was with Prabhupada in Atlanta in 1975, he made exactly the same point. He said, whether you kill a rich man or a poor man, you're guilty of murder. So whether you kill an animal or a plant, you're guilty of murder. You're guilty of killing a living entity. Prabhupada made the same point. Therefore, we are not vegetarians. You see, because vegetarians also have to take karma for killing all those plants. You see, we are Krishnatarians. We offer those vegetables to Krishna, and that relieves us of the karma of having killed that carrot or that potato. A carrot's alive. You can stick it in a glass of water and it will sprout. You see? It's a living being in there, in that carrot. When you peel and cut them, you're murdering that living entity. That's a fact. So if you don't offer that food to Krishna, that carrot to Krishna, you're going to become a carrot. That's your karma. You'll become a carrot. So, but if you offer that carrot to Krishna, that carrot gets the benefit of his body being engaged in Krishna's service. He gets benefited. And you get benefited because you follow the order of Krishna to offer that vegetable to Krishna. So that's why it's very imperative. In fact, there is a place in the hellish regions described in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam called Krimi Bhojana. Does anybody know what the word Krimi means in Sanskrit?
Insects.
Krimi? Worms. And Bhojana we all know. Bhojana, eating, is it? So what is that planet is called Krimi Bhojana. You can imagine what's going on that planet. Worms eating. Well, who's doing the eating of the worms? They are cannibals. It's a planet, it's a big lake, but there's nothing but worms and they're eating each other. That's their pastime. Everyone's eating everyone else. And that's a place for people who eat unoffered food. To go. Even as a vegetarian, they still have to. The Bhagavatam describes they go to Krimi Bhojana. So, anyway. I'm not trying to scare you, but just, you know. Just letting you know, make sure to take only Krishna Prasadam, because Krishna says, Yagya Shishta Shana Shanto, Muchante Sarvakil Vishai, Bunjate Tedvakam Papam, Yepa Chant Yatma Karanam. The devotees of our Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only pap. They eat sin. Even if I'm a pukka vegetarian, you see, I am vegetarian, you see. I don't touch non-veg, you see. But if it's not offered, guess what? You're a papi. You're still a papi, a sinful person. According to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 13, you are a papi if you eat food which is not offered to Krishna. Therefore, my wife and I, when we are traveling on our preaching tours, we don't touch the vegetarian food offered by the airline because it wasn't cooked by devotees. We bring our own prasadam, even though we have to eat cold chapatis and sabji, not even hot. We take that rather than eating the papi dinner that they offer us. Here, have some papi dinner. You see? So, yes, it's a very good point. Vegetarians are also guilty of karma, killing. But Krishnatarians, they're relieved by Krishna, that reaction. That's a bit. Therefore, we take only Krishna Prasad, that is Vaishnava culture. Any other, I know I'm going over time, I may get in trouble here. Can I have one more question? All right. Is anybody who had a question they really wanted to ask and were too shy to raise their hand yet? Now's your chance. Now is your chance to ask that question. All right. So we will stop here. And we thank you all very much for your kind attention and for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Thank you very, very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.